Kona Judge isn't a household name, perhaps in part because she exemplifies our nation's shameful past. Judge was Martha Washington's slave, her personal handmaid. For most of the 1790s, the president and his family lived in the nation's capital of Philadelphia. Ona Judge occupied a room over the kitchen. That is, until dinner time on May 21st, 1796, when she stepped outside and never looked back. 2 days later, an ad appeared in the Philadelphia Gazette offering a $10 reward for her return.
And it would have taken about a five-day journey to get from Philadelphia to Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
This is historian Erica Dunbar, author of Never Caught, The Story of Ona Judge.
She was supposed to be given away at some point to Eliza Custis Law, and this is the trigger that prompts her to run.
After learning that Martha Washington planned to give her away to a granddaughter, Judge sought the help of the free African-American community and fled north.
There was something about Portsmouth. Clearly, it was a place that free blacks felt that Ona could go and perhaps find some anonymity, an attempt to blend and start a new life.
That new life was a difficult one that began in crippling poverty and depended entirely on the graces of the free African-American community. Judge was a fugitive, constantly dodging Washington's pursuit. Even after his death, when the former president willed that his slaves be emancipated, Judge found no relief. She belonged to Martha, not George.
So this grand sort of gesture that we've looked to really sort of understand Washington and how his ideas about slavery changed over time, no such thing happened for Martha's men and women who were enslaved. And so this had no bearing on Ona's life.
Ona Judge married. She had children. All the while, she was considered property.
You know, those children, although born in New Hampshire and born to a free man, it didn't matter. They were still considered human property because the inherited status of slavery followed the apron strings of its women.
Eventually, Judge's husband, Jack Staines, passed away. Without his protection and financial support, she moved out of Portsmouth to live with a free African-American family in Greenland, New Hampshire. Over the next 45 years, she lived in poverty and in fear of slave catchers. But she also taught herself to read and write, and she shared her story. At 72, she was interviewed for an abolitionist newspaper, and she finally revealed her identity.
What I think is so incredible about her story is that no matter how difficult it was, even with the sort of trials and tribulations of poverty, she never regrets her decision. The reality was she never was free. She was a fugitive for the entirety of her life, but she lived as a free person. And that to Ona, that was worth more than pretty dresses, nice shoes, stockings, those things. It mattered not. She was able to live her life.
Ona Judge died at the age of 74. She never learned that the sister she left behind had been freed and married to a prosperous man who helped free other members of her family. She died in obscurity, and she died poor. But near the end of her life, her interviewer described her as smiling, with a fire in her eye, content that she was free in the eyes of God. Ona Judge had defied the most powerful and praised man in America, and her life, from that moment on, was her own. For NHPR's Unsung, I'm Hannah McCarthy.